Well, praise the Lord, huh? Okay, Robin had a few things she wanted to share, so come on up. Okay.
I've watched that video. I guess that's the third time now, and it makes me cry every time. Well, I guess I just wanted to share. Wayne and I were praying about it. We really felt I should share a little bit of what I shared at the women's meeting in La Pinita, because I shared on the goodness of God. And God made it very clear at the beginning of our time there that this was the theme that I was supposed to share in La Pinita. And it was just amazing how he did that. When we got up to La Pinita after being at Joy and Pancho's house for 3 weeks, I knew Joy was going to be my translator up there. And so I told her, I said, I think I have the theme I'm going with. And I shared with her some things, but it wasn't settled in my heart yet that was the right theme. And so I said, I might change it, so you might have to just be ready spur of the minute that I've changed it, you know. And she said, that's okay. And God changed it. From the moment we arrived in La Pinita, there's this woman named Laya, who's 73 years old. I met her, I think, for the first time 3 years ago at a women's meeting that I spoke at up there. And she's 73 years old, and she lives alone, and she has children that live in the States and things like that, but she's always worried about them and always, you know, afraid for their lives because her one son was into drugs and things like that. Anyway, she endeared herself to me that first trip three years ago where I met her in many ways. The next year, 2 years ago, she actually had Wayne and I and Rosa and Manuel over for a meal at her house. And when we were often invited into people's homes to eat, so I bring a lot of little gifts with me, and I like to bring a little kitchen towel or just something to give as a thank you for having us over. And so I was out of gifts on that trip 2 years ago at this point when we went to Laya's house. And I said to Rosa, I said, do you have anything in your house, in your little stash of gifts that you keep in your bedroom that I could give to Laya? Because I just feel that I'm supposed to have a gift for her. I can't go without a gift. And it's really strong in my heart. And so she said, yeah, and she had this pretty purse. So when we showed up at Laya's house, I was the first one at the door. And when I opened the door, I said, a surprise for you, I said in Spanish. And she said, at the exact same, she said, why? And I said, because I love you. And at the same time, she said, because it's my birthday. Like we said our words at the same time. And so I always remembered that her birthday was in February. And that was just so special to her that, you know, that I brought her a gift on her birthday. So, last year, I did the same thing. I looked up the date because I'd written in my journal the year before. I looked up the date, and I showed up at her house and surprised her last year with another gift on her birthday. And this year, I forgot the date, and we were going. I got to Rosa's house that first day we were there at Rosa's house. We got there in the kind of the early evening. Early evening. And I said to Rosa, I said, when is Laya's birthday? I forgot to write it down this time. And she said, oh, I don't know. Is it this month? I said, yes, it's February. And I think it's like right around now. And so she called another lady, Veronica, in the church. And Veronica called Laya and said, Laya, when is your birthday? And Rosa said, don't tell her anything because we don't want to, you know, we want to surprise her. So Laya's response was, people are always asking me when my birthday is. Nobody ever remembers my birthday. The only people that remember my birthday is, I think, one of her family members and the mother of Joy. anyway, so it turns out it was that very day. And we arrived at Rose's on the day it was Laya's birthday. And so I said, I looked at Rosa, and she said, "You want to go right now?" And I said, "Yep, let's go. I've got a gift for her." So anyway, that was my first experience this year driving in Mexico, which is fun in the La Pinita area, but I do it, and I get all kinds of like amazing remarks from people because I drive there. Not many of the women drive. Anyway, it was a sweet time with Laya, and it was just, she couldn't believe it when we showed up at her house and with a gift. And through that and through another thing that happened the next day, it was when we had our time with Norma. Norma's our friend from 27 years ago that passed away of cancer this past year. And one of the things we really had on our heart to do was to be with her family and just share some time with them and talk about their mom and grandma and stuff like that. And we had that sweet time. They had us over for dinner and for lunch, and we just had a precious, precious time with them. And because of the thing with Laya and the thing with being with Norma's family, God just showed me instantly that my theme was not to be what I had planned down in San Juan for the women's meeting in La Pinita. It was to be on the goodness of God. And I would say that this trip that we took this year, to me, the whole, everything in the trip was just characterized and could be explained that it was the goodness of God. I felt so much peace. I mean, last year, you know, we had so many health problems, and it was such a hard trip. And this year, there was not one single health problem. We had so much peace, and it was just a blessing. And it was really the goodness of God that went with us, along with all your prayers, that, you know, we just appreciate so much when we're there. And so I just wanted to share with you a couple of the verses that I shared about the goodness of God. And you've heard me share this before here at Fountain, but it's one of my favorite verses, Psalm 27:13. "I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living." And, you know, we always have problems in this world, and we look around us, and we have problems in our own families. You know, we have maybe bad things that have happened to us in our lives. There's all craziness going on in the world. And so, you know, you just, it's just easy to dwell on those things sometimes, but we need to be dwelling and living with our minds set on the goodness of God. Because if we focus on all those other things, what happens? We lose our joy. We can get depressed or get even in despair. And fear can come on us. And I was a person who had a lot of fears in my life when I was young. I had panic attacks at night, and Wayne would have to pray for me in the night hours. And just took so long to get over that fear. But God did that a few years ago when Joy was going to have her surgery. Some of you have heard me share this, and she was walking out the door to have the serious surgery. We didn't know if she'd survive it, blah, blah, blah. And as she walked out the door, she was happy. She was waving. They were stopping at Walmart on the way to the hospital. I'm like, what? Walmart? And yet she didn't have any fear. And I just said to the Lord after she walked out the door, I said, "God, I am sick of myself. I'm sick of myself. I don't want this fear in my life anymore. Just please take it. I don't want it anymore." And he did. He took it. And I didn't realize it till a few months later when I had my knee surgery and I had no fear. So that was just really cool. Anyway, another scripture I love is Exodus 34:6-7. The Lord passed in front of Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps his loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. That's the kind of God I want to follow and trust. We always need to keep in our minds that God is good, and also that this world is only our temporary home. Our real home is our forever home in heaven. And there will be no sorrow or sighing or fear or any of those things. So I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that heaven is our forever home and this is just temporary. We go through stuff here. That's the way it is. So I shared with the ladies there that there's a really good psalm. I'm going to read it from here. Psalm 145. And it's actually titled in the, I asked in the Spanish Bibles down there if it, you know, sometimes they don't have little titles above their chapters, but they have the same title about this one, A Song of God's Majesty and Love, A Praise of David. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous and in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. So that psalm is so clear about what we need to focus our mind on and dwell on. And one of the things that's really helped me in this, in dwelling on his goodness, is that when I'm praying, I've been learning to pray with gratitude. God just kind of shifted my prayer life around a while ago, and I realized, you know, because we got stuff going on in our family, you know, Carrie's in the middle of divorce, you know, we have, our son is not walking with God, and he's in divorce, and all this stuff, so there's things going on, and sometimes it's discouraging. But, you know, I decided what God was showing me was that I needed to pray with gratitude. And so I shared this with the ladies there. And when I shared some of the things we were going through, you know, one of the ladies just started to cry. And at the end, she ended up sharing that, you know, this particular thing I'm about to share with you was just so good for her. So I just gave this example of how I pray. not begging God for things and, you know, that kind of thing, but just, God, I thank you that my children are in your hands. I'm grateful, God, that even though I don't see outward change, you are their good father, and you are always loving them and desiring that they will turn their hearts to you. Thank you, God, that I don't have to worry about him because your heart is always for them. And what does that do for us? Praying with words of gratitude gives hope, gives me hope, and it strengthens my faith. Gratitude lifts my spirit and helps me remind myself that God is good and that he is in control. So I just leave that with you guys, because if there's any of you that are struggling with things in your life and struggle with, you know, remembering that God is good at times, I encourage you to just read some of those scriptures I read and just meditate on them and meditate on his goodness and change your prayer life to phrasing your sentences or your thoughts with gratitude to God. Because truly, he's the only one who can change anybody or change anything. So thank you for all your prayers. We always say that we take you with us. You know, I always tell you that. We take you with us. Every year we go to Mexico. And that's why I get emotional at the end of that video that Joy sent, because she said at the end, I don't know if you caught it, thank you all for coming to Mexico every year.
It's a wonderful thing when we walk by faith, right? And when we do that, it changes our perspective on things. So, you know, we just wanted to, it's always hard to give a little trip report and tell you everything you did and show you a bunch of pictures that you don't know anything about, you know, all of that. But the important thing for us all is to know that we are one. We are one body. You know, it's so cool to me because we were going down and hearing about the revival in, tell me again the place, I always forget, Asbury. And when I got down there, all the Mexicans were saying, oh, what do you think about, you know, Asbury? What do you think about that? So it doesn't, you know, even though it was happening in the United States, they all knew about it, and they were all excited about it, and they were all anticipating what God was doing, because we are all one body. One of the messages I gave was on unity, and that is such a powerful thing once you realize that we need, because of Christ being the head, and our Father, and we're all his children, that we are all one body. And it doesn't matter if we have a different culture. It doesn't matter if we go to a different church. All of those things fall away when we realize that we are one body. And together we are hearing. We all need to hear from Christ ourselves and act on it and do what he's called us to do. And when he does that, he orchestrates us. You know, I love the one scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians 12:13. And it's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he says that he baptizes us into, the Holy Spirit's job is to baptize us into one body. And that's why he does the things he does. He distributes his gifts to one another in such a way that we need each other. And we can then appreciate one another and realize that we all really do need one another. And so, you know, God has given us a connection with these churches down in Mexico, and they need us and we need them. And it's a wonderful thing to go and experience how the body of Christ functions in unity. And it doesn't matter that they have a different culture, because when we start to realize that we're in the kingdom culture, it all blends together, even though some of their practices and some of the ways they think are different than mine. It doesn't matter, because we're all trying to hear from Christ and do what he has called us to do. So let's remember the goodness of God. Let's remember that he's doing a work in this age, and he is in control. You know, I was coming home, and we're in the South, so you see all these boards, you know, about God. And the one said, Doug, that Christ or God is still in control. And I was taking a little license with that. He's saying, what do you mean still? You know, he's always been in control. So he isn't going to lose control, right? You know, so God is in control. He's not still in control. I understand what they were trying to say, you know, because sometimes we doubt, and that's why it says still. But the point is that God is good, and he's in control, and we don't need to worry about tomorrow. Isn't that what he said? Don't worry about tomorrow. See, worry is a lack of faith. If you find yourself worrying about things, you need to realize that, oh, my faith is not as strong as it should be. It doesn't mean you don't need to pray about your problems or pray about whatever this is, but our faith needs to be in God, and we need to put worry aside, because, you know, what's the worst thing that could happen? We go be with him, right? So, and that on that day, we're all going to be very happy, right? Maybe our loved ones will be a bit sad that we left for a little while, but we're all going to be together again, and it's going to be beautiful. No tear, no sorrow, because we're in the Lord. So I just want to thank you again for supporting us, for being with us, for being one body with us, that we go and see what God is doing in these places, and they're looking to expand the kingdom, and all we're doing in a small way is helping them as they help us. So praise the Lord. Let me close with a word of prayer. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our Savior, that you are our Lord, and you are the head of the church. So Lord, we just enjoy so much that we are one in you, in Christ. And our identity is in you, our Lord and Savior. So, Lord, just continue to help us be focused on you, that our prayer life be full of thankfulness, as our hearts are full of thankfulness for what you are doing in our midst, O God. Even in the middle of grief, you come and bring comfort, Lord. We thank you for that. Blessed are those who mourn, for you shall comfort. So Lord, we want to receive your comfort, because in your comfort you give us strength. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We give you glory, for you are glorious. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.